A reflection on the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd, by Father David B. Smith, whose website is www.fatherdave.org. He is, by the way, an Australian priest. The Lord is my trainer. I shall not fear the fight. He is constantly with me, working my corner. He refreshes me between rounds with cool water and with even cooler advice. Yea, though I walk to center ring to stare out an opponent twice my size, even then he will be with me, his hands on my shoulders and his words to guide. With his towel and his sponge he will care for me all the long rounds of my life. And when the final bell rings, I shall retire from the ring, knowing that I have fought the good fight. This is my translation of the 23rd Psalm. It's a rather loose translation in terms of its relationship to the original Hebrew, but it captures what I understand to be the central theme of the 23rd Psalm, namely, God's guidance and protection of us throughout our lives. I do not remember ever taking a funeral where I did not use the 23rd Psalm. I've taken lots of funerals, hundreds, but never without this trusted old friend, the 23rd Psalm. Mind you, it's not only at funerals where the psalm is read. I was told one couple who asked for the 23rd Psalm to be the key reading at their wedding. It is a true story. The priest on that occasion was initially a little resistant to having the 23rd Psalm as the text for his wedding eulogy, preferring to work with 1 Corinthians 13 as usual. But apparently the couple insisted, saying, "Look, we're quite fearful about the whole reality of marriage. Both our parental families are divorced. Many of our friends who only recently got married are already divorced. We look at the statistics for the rest of society, and it doesn't fill us with confidence. We need some assurance." Be sure enough, at the center of their wedding, instead of having "love is faithful, love is kind," etc., they had "yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The 23rd Psalm is certainly the most popular of the Psalms. It is indeed one of the most popular and best-known parts of the whole Bible, which is why I assume we revisit it every year. My research into ancient Near Eastern shepherds suggests to me that if we understood more of the ancient Near Eastern shepherding, we probably would appreciate the psalm all that more. Philip Keller wrote a little book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, relating his experience as a shepherd in East Africa. The land adjacent to his was apparently rented out to a tenant shepherd who didn't take care of his sheep. His land was overgrazed, eaten down to the ground. The sheep were thin, diseased by parasites, and attacked by wild animals. Keller remembered how the neighbor's sheep would line up at the fence and blankly stare in the direction of his green grass and his healthy sheep, as if they yearned to be delivered from the abusive shepherd. They longed to come to the other side of the fence and belong to him. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her work on shepherds and shepherding, offers us the insight that sheep might not be as dumb as we've been led to believe. She even suggests that bad reputation sheep have may have risen out of rumors spread by members of the cattle industry. Cows, she said, are herded from the rear by hooting men on horseback cracking whips. But this doesn't work with sheep at all. Stand behind them, making loud noises, and all they will do is run around behind you, because they prefer to be led. You push cows, but you lead sheep, and they will not go anywhere that someone else does not go first, namely their shepherd, who goes ahead of them to show them that everything is all right. Sheep tend to grow fond of their shepherds, she says. A shepherd can apparently walk right through a sleeping flock without disturbing a single sheep, while a stranger could not step a foot in the fold without causing pandemonium. Sheep develop a relationship with their shepherd that is quite exclusive. They develop a language of their own that outsiders are not privy to. A good shepherd can distinguish a bleat of pain from one of the pleasure, while the sheep learns that a click of the tongue means food, or a two-note song means that it's time to go home. Of course, if you visit Palestine today, you can see Bedouin shepherds bringing their flocks home from the various pastures where they graze them. One such visitor observed that often a number of different flocks would be brought to the same watering hole each evening, so that sheep from various flocks were mixed together. This wouldn't worry the shepherds, though. When it was time for them to go, each would have their own distinctive call or whistle or tune that they played on their reed pipe, and their sheep would then withdraw from the crowd and follow their master home. They know their master's voice. This sort of imagery is at the heart of our love for the 23rd Psalm. We know his voice. We follow him. He protects us. His rod and his staff comfort us. He guides us. He leads us beside still waters that refresh us. Yea, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever form that shadowy valley takes for us, yet we know that he is with us, guiding us, protecting us, pushing us on just ahead of us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow all the days of our life with such a good shepherd to lead and to guide. I love the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, but I must confess that I dread preaching on Good Shepherd Sunday each year. This is partly because it forces me to come up with a new sermon every year on exactly the same text and theme. This is always tough to do. You can get away with using the sermon you used last time on the text when you're working with something you did 3 years ago, but when you only did it 1 year ago, it's not so easy. I realized this year that there is another reason I dread preaching on the 23rd Psalm. It's because it doesn't give me any of the standard raw material that fiery and pulpit-pounding sermons are normally crafted out of. I read through Psalm 23 over and over again, and there's nothing there to use as a basis for berating anybody about their sins. I look for some angle in the text via which I can make some astute social comment, but it isn't there. I struggle to find a way in which the 23rd Psalm could be used to urge us all on to greater acts of faith and to be a more radical life of discipleship. I couldn't really find it. My problem is that 23rd Psalm, which is the reflection on our lives as disciples of Christ, nonetheless doesn't tell us to do anything except perhaps to relax. I think that's a very beautiful concept, so I'm going to recite it once again. My problem is that the 23rd Psalm, while it is a reflection on our lives as disciples of Christ, nonetheless doesn't tell us to do anything except perhaps to relax. What a beautiful message to give our people in this time of tension, anxieties, and moving all the time. You lead me beside still waters, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my trainer. The Lord is my mother, my father, my loving partner, my friend. Find an image that works for you by all means, but be assured of the fundamental message. that He is with us to guide and to protect us for as long as our days on earth do last. And that is the end of the article by Father David from Australia. God bless you.